Your brother called again, he said.
Why?
No message.
What was the 1017 for?
Colonel Garber requested 1019.
I smiled. You could live your whole life saying nothing but 10 this and 10 that. Sometimes I felt like I already had. A 1019 was a contact by phone or radio. Less serious than a 1016, which was a contact by secure landline. Colonel Garber requests a 1019 meant Garber wants you to call him was all. Some MP units get in the habit of speaking English, but clearly this one hadn't yet. I stepped into my office and saw Kramer's suit carrier propped against the wall and a carton containing his shoes and underwear and hat sitting next to it. His uniform was still on three hangers. They were hung one in front of the other on my coat rack. I walked past them to my borrowed desk and dialed Garber's number, listened to the purr of the ringtone, and wondered what my brother wanted. Wondered how he had tracked me down. I'd been in Panama 60 hours ago. Before that, I'd been all over the place. So he'd made a big effort to find me. So maybe it was important. I picked up a pencil and wrote Joe on a slip of paper. Then I underlined it, twice. Yes, Leon Garber said in my ear. Reacher here, I said. I looked at the clock on the wall. It showed a little after 9 in the morning. Kramer's onward connection to LAX was already in the air.
It was a heart attack, Garber said. No question.
Walter Reed worked fast.
He was a general.
Yeah, but a general with a bad heart.
Bad arteries, actually. Severe arteriosclerosis leading to fatal ventricular fibrillation. That's what they're telling us. And I believe him, too. Probably kicked in around the time the whore took her bra off.
He wasn't carrying any pills.
Yeah, it's probably undiagnosed. It's one of those things. You feel fine, then you feel dead. No way it could be faked, anyway. You could simulate fibrillation with an electric shock, I guess, but you can't simulate 40 years' worth of crap in the arteries.
Were we worried about it being faked?
There could have been KGB interest, Garber said. Kramer and his tanks are the biggest single tactical problem the Red Army's facing.
Well, right now, the Red Army's facing the other way.
Kind of early to say whether that's permanent or not.
I didn't reply. The phone went quiet.
I can't let anyone else touch this with a stick, Garber said. Not just yet. Because of the circumstances, you understand that, right?
So?
So you're gonna have to do the widow thing, Garber said.
Me? Well, isn't she in Germany?
She's in Virginia. She's home for the holidays. They have a house there.
He gave me the address, and I wrote it on the slip of paper, directly underneath where I had underlined Joe. Anyone with her? I asked.
Nah, they don't have kids, so she's probably alone.
Okay, I said.
She doesn't know yet, Garber said. Took me a while to track her down.
Want me to take a priest?
It isn't a combat death. You could take a female partner, I guess. Ms. Kramer might be a hugger.
Okay.
Spare her the details, obviously. He was en route to Irwin, is all. Croaked in a layover hotel. We need to make that the official line. Nobody except you and me knows any different yet, and that's the way we're gonna keep it. Except you can tell whoever you partner with, I guess. Mrs. Kramer might ask questions, and you'll need to be on the same page. What about local cops? They gonna leak?
Well, the guy I saw was an ex-Marine. He knows the score.
Semper Fi, Garber said.
I didn't find the briefcase yet, I said. The phone went quiet again.
Do the widow thing first, Garber said. Then keep on looking for it.
I told the day shift corporal to move Kramer's effects to my quarters. I wanted to keep them safe and sound. The widow would ask for them eventually. And things can disappear on a big base like Bird, which can be embarrassing. Then I walked over to the O Club and looked for MPs eating late breakfasts or early lunches. They usually cluster well away from everybody else because everybody else hates them. I found a group of 4, 2 men and 2 women. They were all in woodland pattern BDUs, standard on-post dress. One of the women was a captain. She had her right arm in a sling. She was having trouble eating. She would have trouble driving, too. The other woman had a lieutenant's bar on each lapel and Summer on her name tape. She looked to be about 25 years old, and she was short and slender. She had skin the same color as the mahogany table she was eating off. "Lieutenant Summer," I said.
"Sir?"
"Happy New Year," I said.
"Sir, you too."
"You busy today?"
"Sir, general duties."
"Okay, out front in 30 minutes, Class A's. I need you to hug a widow." I put on my own Class A's again and called the motor pool for a sedan. I didn't want to ride all the way to Virginia in a Humvee. Too noisy, too uncomfortable. A private brought me a new olive-green Chevrolet. I signed for it and drove it around to post headquarters and waited. Lieutenant Summer came out halfway through the 28th minute of her allotted 30. She paused a second and then walked towards the car. She looked good. She was very short, but she moved easily like a willowy person. She looked like a 6-foot catwalk model reduced in size to a tiny miniature. I got out of the car and left the driver's door open. Met her on the sidewalk. She was wearing an expert sharpshooter badge with bars for rifle, small bore rifle, auto rifle, pistol, small bore pistol, machine gun, and submachine gun hanging on it. They made a little ladder, about 2 inches long. Longer than mine. I only have rifle and pistol. She stopped dead in front of me and came to attention and fired off a perfect salute.
"Sir, Lieutenant Summer reports,"
she said. "Take it easy," I said. "Informal mode of address, okay? Call me Reacher or nothing. And no saluting, I don't like it." She paused, relaxed.
"Okay,"
she said. I opened the passenger door and started to get in.
"I'm driving?"
she asked. "I was up most of the night."
"Who died?"
"General Kramer," I said. "Big tank guy in Europe." She paused again.
"So why was he here? We're all infantry."
"Passing through," I said. She got in on the other side and racked the driver's seat all the way forward, adjusted the mirror. I pushed the passenger seat back and got as comfortable as I could.
"Where to?"
she said. "Green Valley, Virginia," I said. "It'll be about 4 hours, I guess."
"That's where the widow is?"
"Home for the holidays," I said.
"And we're breaking the news? Like, Happy New Year, ma'am, and by the way, your husband's dead?"
I nodded. "Lucky us." But I wasn't really worried. Generals' wives are as tough as they come. Either they've spent 30 years pushing their husbands up the greasy pole, or they've endured 30 years of fallout as their husbands have climbed it for themselves. Either way, there's not much left that can get to them. They're tougher than the generals most of the time. Summer took her cap off and tossed it onto the back seat. Her hair was very short, almost shaved. She had a delicate skull and nice cheekbones, smooth skin. I liked the way she looked. And she was a fast driver, that was for damn sure. She clipped her belt and took off north like she was training for NASCAR.
"Was it an accident?"
she asked. "Heart attack," I said. "His arteries were bad."
"Where? RVOQ?"
I shook my head. "Ah, crappy little motel in town. He died with a $20 hooker wedged somewhere underneath him."
"We're not telling the widow that part, right?"
"No, we're not. We're not telling anyone that part."
"Why was he passing through?"
"He didn't come to Bird itself. He was transiting D.C., Frankfurt to Dulles, then National to LAX 20 hours later. He was going out to Irwin for a conference."
"Okay,"
she said. And then she went very quiet. We drove on. We got about level with the motel, but well to the west, heading straight for the highway.
"Permission to speak freely?"
she said. "Please," I said.
"Is this a test?"
"Why would it be a test?"
"You're from the 110th Special Unit, aren't you?"
"Yes," I said, "I am."
"I have an application pending."
"To the 110th?
"Yes,"
she said.
"So is this a covert assessment?"
"Of what?"
"Of me,"
she said,
"as a candidate."
"I needed a woman partner, in case the widow is a hugger. I picked you out at random. The captain with the busted arm couldn't have driven the car. And it would be kind of inefficient for us to wait until we had a dead general to conduct personnel assessments.
I guess,
she said.
But I'm wondering if you're sitting there waiting for me to ask the obvious questions.
I'd expect any MP with a pulse to ask the obvious questions, whether or not they had a special unit transfer pending.
Okay, I'm asking. General Kramer had a 20-hour layover in the D.C. area, and he wanted to get his rocks off, and he didn't mind paying for the privilege. So why'd he drive all the way down here to do it? It's what, 300 miles?
298, I said.
And then he'd have to drive all the way back?
Clearly.
So why?
Will you tell me, I said. Come up with something I haven't thought of myself, and I'll recommend you for the transfer.
You can't. You're not my CO.
Maybe I am, I said. This week, anyway.
Why are you even here? Is something happening I should know about?
I don't know why I'm here, I said. I got orders, that's all I know.
Are you really a major?
The last time I checked, I said.
I thought 110th investigators are usually warrant officers, working plainclothes or undercover.
Yeah, they usually are.
So why bring you here when they could send a warrant officer and have him dress up as a major?
Good question, I said. Maybe one day I'll find out.
May I ask what your orders were?
Temporary detached duty as Fort Byrd's Provost Marshal's executive officer.
The Provost Marshal isn't on post,
she said. I know, I said. I found that out. He transferred out the same day I transferred in. Some temporary thing.
So you're acting CO?
Like I said.
MPXO isn't a special unit job,
she said. I can fake it, I said. I started out a regular MP just like you. Summer said nothing, just drove. Kramer, I said. Why did he contemplate a 600-mile round trip? That's 12 hours driving time out of his 20, just to spend 15 bucks on a room and 20 on a whore.
Why does it matter? A heart attack's a heart attack, right? I mean, was there any question about it?
I shook my head. Walter Reed already did the autopsy.
So it doesn't really matter where or when it happened.
His briefcase is missing.
I see,
she said. I saw her thinking. Her lower eyelids flicked upward a fraction.
How do you know he had a briefcase?
She said. I don't. But did you ever see a general go to a conference without one?
No,
she said.
You think the hooker ran off with it?
I nodded. That's my working hypothesis right now.
So find the hooker.
Who was she? Her eyelids moved again.
Don't make sense,
she said. I nodded again. Exactly.
Four possible reasons Kramer didn't stay in the D.C. area. One, he might have been traveling with fellow officers and didn't want to embarrass himself in front of him by having a hooker come to his room. They might have seen her in the corridor or heard her through the walls. So he invented an excuse and stayed in a different place. Two, even if he was traveling alone, he might have been on a DOD travel voucher, and he was paranoid about a desk clerk seeing a girl and calling the Washington Post. That happens. So he preferred to pay cash in some anonymous dive. Three, even if he wasn't on a government ticket, he might have been a well-known guest or a familiar face in a big city hotel. So likewise, he was looking for anonymity somewhere out of town. Or four, his sexual taste ran beyond what you can get from the D.C. Yellow Pages, so he had to go where he knew for sure he could get what he wanted.
But?
Problems 1, 2, and 3 could be answered by going 10 or 15 miles, maybe less. 298 is completely excessive. And whereas I'm prepared to believe that there are tastes that can't be satisfied in D.C., I don't see how they're more likely to be satisfied way out here in the North Carolina boonies. And anyway, I would guess such a thing cost a lot more than 20 bucks wherever you eventually found it.
So, why did he take the 600-mile detour? She didn't answer, just drove and thought. I closed my eyes. Kept them closed for about 35 miles.
He knew the girl,
Summer said. I opened my eyes. How?
Some men have favorites. Maybe he met her a long time ago, fell for her in a way. It can happen like that. It can almost be a love thing.
Where would he have met her?
Right there.
Byrd's all infantry. He was armored branch.
Maybe they had joint exercises. You should check back.